one of the most recognized and universal symbols and traditions of Christmas is the Christmas tree. Like many of the traditions and symbols of Christmas, can be traced back to the Roman Saturnalia, so too the evergreen tree. It is reported that they cut down small evergreen trees and brought them into their homes during the celebration of Saturnalia. There is even evidence that they trimmed their trees with 12 candles and placed a sun image on the top of the tree. In the Scandinavian countries, during the Dark Ages, the people followed pagan traditions. The winters were extremely dark, cold, and harsh, often causing many people and animals to die. The deeply superstitious Vikings found hope in observing the evergreen tree. Even during the harshest winters, these trees survived and even thrived. They seemed to be magical and perhaps even otherworldly. In order to give the people an example of hope and strength to live through the worst of winters, they would cut down a fir tree and place it in their homes. The sight and scent of the trees permeated their dreadful days. Now, during the early years in Europe, the evergreen tree was a symbol of life and good fortune, becoming one of the central symbols in paganism, as well as in Christian cultures and ceremonial rites. There is the story of Saint Boniface, a 7th century English monk, who traveled extensively throughout Europe as a missionary. On one of his journeys, he happened upon a band of men gathered under a large oak tree. They had a young boy in their midst who was about to be sacrificed to the god Thor. Now, intervening, St. Boniface tried to have them stop their ritual, but to no avail. He then walked up to the sacred oak tree and struck it with his fist. And the giant tree began to shudder and then came crashing down. To say the least, that got everyone's attention. Boniface then pointed to a tiny fir tree just behind where the oak tree stood. He told them that it was the tree of life, which even had the harshest of winters could not kill. And therefore it represented the eternal life offered by Christ. He then appointed to their triangular shape, which represented the Trinity. And the legend concluded by stating that all the pagan men assembled were converted. In many European countries throughout the Dark Ages and Middle Ages, evergreen trees were hung upside down in homes in order to give a visible sign of hope for the harsh winter to disappear. Most likely, they were hung upside down in order to save floor room because their homes were so small. Also, during this era of history, in the Baltic region. Evergreen trees were placed outside of churches during December. Now these were called paradise trees and were to teach the story of Adam and Eve. Apples were placed on the trees, and children would play out the Genesis story of Adam and Eve. Now this also brought the pagan use of the evergreen tree into Judeo-Christian symbolism. Now, on this year leading up to the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, it is fitting to give a story, or perhaps a legend, we don't know, about Martin Luther and how the first Christmas tree has been attributed to him. Now, Luther and his children often took walks before bedtime in the nearby pine forest. They enjoyed that together. One year around Christmas, his children had taken sick, and Luther had to take the walk alone. It was a cold, clear winter night, with stars shining brightly in the darkened sky. As he was walking through the pine forest, he looked up and he could see the stars twinkling through the evergreen branches. What a beautiful experience. Now, in order to give his children that experience, the next day he cut down a small pine tree and set it up in his house. And then, in order to represent the stars, he placed lighted candles on its branches. And when he lit the candles, his children were in awe and amazed. Thus, he had not only delighted his children, but also his neighbors who happened by. They too did the same and were in awe. And they went and cut down the tree and placed it in their homes. And it is said the tradition of the lighted Christmas tree came to be. But Luther did not stop there, for he used the tree to teach. He said the evergreen tree represented God's everlasting love. Its color did not fade, just as God's love never fades, but endures even through the worst conditions of life. The candlelight represented the hope that Christ brought to the world. For Christ is the light of the world. Now, as the years went by, German families added decorations. First apples and fruit, then candy and toys were added. This was all within the German Christmas tradition and was thought to be very Lutheran. Later, in Scandinavian regions, they would add homemade straw ornaments to their trees. It is believed that the Hessian mercenaries during the Revolutionary War introduced the Christmas tree to the New World. This, though, is refuted by others. One historian relates that the first Christmas trees were in the Swedish colonies in Delaware and were decorated with kitchen utensils and jewelry. Still other historians say that it wasn't until very early 1800s that the Christmas tree was introduced by Germans in Pennsylvania. But what we know for sure is that the Christmas tree didn't have widespread acceptance until several decades into the 18th century. Although the tree was a German tradition, it took the British to bring the tree into widespread usage, not only in England, but especially in the United States. The royal family used Christmas trees as early as 1832. But it wasn't until 1848 that a picture in the London Illustrated News depicted Queen Victoria with her German husband Albert and the royal family around a decorated lighted tree in Windsor Castle. 2 years later in the United States, a similar picture was published in Gaudy's Lady's Book. The picture was so warm and inviting that from then on the Christmas tree became a widespread tradition. And these trees were set up on Christmas Eve and taken down on the eve of Epiphany. I can remember that. Of course, that tradition has dramatically changed. At first, those who wanted a Christmas tree would have to journey into the woods and cut them down themselves. But in 1851, a man by the name of Mark Carr, a New York businessman, got the bright idea of chopping down many trees and setting them up on vacant city lots to sell. Soon, tree lots sprang up in every city across the nation. By the 1880s, the usage of trees was so popular that many worried that the fir tree would become extinct. Their first inclination was this. They started to make artificial trees way back then out of feathers and brushes and eventually, of course, vinyl and silk. And almost taken over the market. But at the same time, a new kind of farming began. A new industry. The Christmas tree farms began in the late 1800s. Now, the early Christmas trees in the United States were decorated with strings of popcorn, cookies, candies, dolls, toys, strings of colored paper chains, and homemade drawings. In most instances, they represented the family's talent and creativity. The first commercial ornaments were made in 1860 by the German Lustre Company. Perhaps inspired by the paper chains and popcorns, they produced garland made out of colored beads. The company then expanded into colorful, shiny, hand-blown glass ornaments. And the first ornaments, the first American-made glass ornaments were produced by William DeMuth in New York around 1878. In 1880, Frank W. Walworth's 5-and-10-cent stores in Utica, New York began selling Lustre ornaments. By 1910, Woolworth stores were from coast to coast and brought commercial Christmas ornaments within the means of the average person. Now, these ornaments took all kinds of shapes and forms, but they were always bright and shining. They were fruits. There was the pickle, the German pickle. And they attracted attention. And the people bought them. By 1900, Woolworth imported more than 200,000 glass ornaments, representing $25 million. Woolworth helped them to commercialize Christmas. Around the same time, with the invention of the Christmas lights, Christmas decorations began to be one of the important industries in America. By the 1950s, decorating at Christmas expanded from the inside to the outside and has become a time for elaborate displays of creative light. Related to the evergreen trees now, though, is the tradition of the Christmas wreath. Now, the wreath was a byproduct of the Christmas tree and attributed again to the Germans. Although the wreath, symbolic of victory, was utilized in ancient times, the Christmas wreath came much later. When bringing the tree into the house, often branches would be cut to shape the tree, or even make it smaller so it would fit. Now, being German, you don't want to waste anything, right? And so you didn't want to waste the branches, so the Germans wove them into wreaths and hung them on their outside door as a sign of hospitality. They later were decorated with carved wood or tin figures of the Nativity. Thus, the decorated Christmas wreath not only symbolized hospitality, but the eternity of God, for the circle is a symbol of eternity. Now, in his book, Stories Behind Great Traditions of Christmas, Ace Collins writes, "Christmas decorations may not bring peace on earth, but boy, they do create a lot of joy in the world." To this I add that the traditions of the decorated Christmas tree not only are a unifying influence within the family, but they also unite much of the world to desire the love and the peace through the birth of Christ child during the Christmas season. In and of itself, the Christmas tree reminds us of God's everlasting love and always points us to a life above the trials of this life. Now, with this, I would like to share with you a German carol, and it will be sung by the choir, and the words are in your bulletin. And I will close with this, the German carol, The Christmas tree with its lights gleaming.